Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Lauren Hill, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in St. Paul and Park Rapids, Minnesota. And we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique can be useful for people who are suffering from chronic pain. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
Lauren, could you begin by giving our listeners a short definition of the Alexander Technique?
Sure, I'd be glad to. The Alexander Technique basically is a method for learning to be more aware of and change movement and postural habits that might be causing or exacerbating pain and discomfort that we have or getting in the way of performance in any activity.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you were initially drawn to taking Alexander lessons. I kind of get a sense from reading your bio, a little bit out of a sense of desperation. Would that be a fair statement to make?
That would be a very fair statement to make, yes.
And you obviously had tried lots of other things. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about your personal history as someone who was suffering chronic pain, and then we'll get into how, in general, the technique could be useful for people in pain.
Sure. Well, I was in a what I considered to be a rather minor car accident when I was 19. And about 3 months after that accident, I started having chronic neck and shoulder and upper back pain. And like most people, I went to the doctor and I had lots of tests over many years and for a long time wasn't diagnosed with anything. And so I began to search out for help and for someone to fix my pain problem. And so, as you said, I tried lots of different things. I went through kind of traditional routes and went through physical therapy and pool therapy and chiropractic care. And I tried different types of massage and acupuncture, acupressure. Some of them helped me somewhat, but nothing really seemed to be helping me long term. And about 6 years after this started, my mom actually had been to a women's conference and there was a presentation on the Alexander Technique. And she came home and told me about it. I had never heard of it. I thought, well, what's this? You know. So I went and got a book on it. And I read the book and it sounded interesting enough for me to look into it further. So I went to a teacher. And it was interesting because up to that point, I kind of had been going from one person to another looking for someone to fix me. And when I came to the Alexander teacher, she basically said to me, you know, you might be part of your problem. And I was a little taken aback, but I did listen. And, you know, what she was saying was, I didn't have a diagnosis at that point, but she said, just by the way you're kind of using your body through the day, you might be contributing to the problem and you might be, you know, causing it completely, but you definitely probably are contributing to it. And if you're willing to learn to study your habits a little bit and maybe learn to make some even subtle changes in how you're going about very mundane daily activities, you might be able to get a degree of control over the pain. And that interested me very much because I was feeling kind of helpless up to that point. And she was saying to me, basically, I'm not going to fix you, but we can work together and I can teach you some things that you can do to maybe begin to help yourself. Mm-hmm. And for me, that began to change my mindset a little bit about my problem from I need someone to fix me to maybe I can do something to help myself. And that was a huge turning point for me.
Mm-hmm. And so I assume you then went on to have a series of lessons and...
Yep, I started to have lessons, and I actually started having three lessons a week, and then I took two lessons a week for quite a long time. And for me, I had spent 6 years up to that point learning to ignore my body because it hurt so much. And so the first part for me was just, you know, learning to pay more attention to myself. And to be honest, actually, I hurt a little bit more at the beginning because I was beginning to pay attention to myself more. And but as we will probably talk about in a little bit, if you have a habit or you're doing something and you want to change it, you got to know you're doing it in the first place. So the first step is just becoming aware.
And then over time, did your pain symptoms diminish with the Alexander work?
Yes, it did take, you know, it took several months before I started to have some improvement myself. And what I was just shocked at as I started to pay more attention to myself was, for me, how much effort I was putting into everything I did. And up to that point, not realizing how much effort, you know, I was putting into just simple things like scrubbing a toilet or chopping an onion or driving my car or working at the computer.
And I know that you currently work with people who are in chronic pain, among others. And I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about maybe to someone listening to this podcast who is suffering from some form of chronic pain, what they might reasonably expect if they came to you or to another Alexander Technique teacher.
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is I always say that the technique is for people who want it, not for those who need it. And by that, I mean that you have to be willing and at a point to take some responsibility for yourself and be willing to make even some subtle changes. And really, without that, I don't think it's as useful. I'm a teacher, not a therapist, and so I will work with somebody, not I'm not going to treat them and fix them. But I have not met anyone who is in some kind of pain that isn't at least contributing to their pain problem by just how they're holding tension in their body or how they're going about just daily mundane activities like brushing their teeth or sitting in a chair. And yeah, go ahead.
Well, and when you say someone needs to be willing to experiment with some subtle changes, could you give an example of what you mean by a subtle change? What would be a specific skill, let's say, that you would teach somebody in general and in particular someone who's suffering from chronic pain?
Sure. So I'll just give an example of, say, somebody who works in front of a computer and kind of gets sucked into their work, you know, and they'll tell me that they just, you know, they can't do anything about it. They just get sucked into their work and 3 hours goes by and then their neck hurts. And they have to be willing to begin to pay some attention to themselves as they're doing their work. And we might talk about ways that they begin to put that into their routine. They might set an alarm on their computer to go off, or they may be working on a document, and at the end of each page, they give themselves a second to check in with themselves. But if they're not willing to begin to pay attention to themselves even a little bit from time to time throughout the day, they can't expect to begin to change things. Earlier, I said you have to be aware of what you're doing before you can really make a choice to do something different. And you have to begin with that awareness somehow.
And it sounds like what you're saying is you really have to be willing to invest some time and energy into paying attention to yourself and what you're doing.
Right.
And I'm sure you've had the experience, and I certainly have, and probably every Alexander teacher has, that some people even if they may seem to benefit a bit from the Alexander technique, are ultimately not willing to make that commitment. And, you know, that seems to me to be something that it's important for someone who's in pain in particular, that from based on your own description of your lessons, you've got to be willing to work on yourself and be pretty patient about the process. You went for quite a while before things got better, as I recall.
Right.
And so if you want a quick fix, probably the Alexander technique is not the way to go. But could you speak a little bit about as you said before, we are teachers, we're not therapists. Could you elaborate on that a little more? Because sometimes people might think that we somehow, if there's an underlying disease associated with their pain, that we can slow the progression of that disease or cure it. And could you just talk a little about that aspect of things?
Sure. So, you know, let's just take something like arthritis, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, like you said, the Alexander technique does not claim to cure anything. What it does do is it helps us, or helps the student, begin to understand how they might be contributing to the condition that they have. So if somebody has arthritis, they may, you know, as they go, say, from standing to sitting, a simple activity that we do many times a day, be really pulling down on themselves and actually compressing into joints, which will make movement even more uncomfortable than it needs to be. I mean, there's going to be some discomfort because they have the arthritis, but they're adding to it by just kind of moving in a way that compresses through the spine as opposed to allowing the spine to lengthen. And the technique can begin to help them learn to move. And again, it's very subtle, but it can make a big difference to the person how they experience movement in their body. And it can make a condition like arthritis that they're going to have be a more manageable thing to live with. There are lots of conditions that people can live with if they can learn to manage them, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are other, and same way, there are lots of conditions with, you add on top of it, habits of moving with compression and a lot of effort, and then that condition becomes very unmanageable.
Mm-hmm. And how about somebody who has pain that's clearly not use related, so that the technique isn't going to directly impact their pain level? What would you say to someone in that situation? Is it still worthwhile having lessons? And if so, why?
Well, I would say to them to come and just try it out. For some, you know, sometimes if you have a condition that's a medical condition that's not going to be necessarily helped by changing your use, and we use that term, it's a kind of a jargon term in the Alexander technique for how you coordinate yourself in activity. Mm-hmm. But dealing with chronic pain does cause a lot of just added stress. Just from my own experience, mm-hmm. it made me very unhappy. Right. And a lot of times, just having pain, just as a compensatory mechanism, we tend to kind of protect ourselves by tightening around the areas that hurt. And so the technique can help you begin to notice where you're doing that and do that a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And also notice how you might be responding to just emotionally to the stress of dealing with that pain on a day-to-day basis, and learning how to maybe respond to that stress in a less negative way.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could perhaps just describe a little bit an experience that you've had perhaps teaching someone who had chronic pain.
Mm-hmm. I had one woman several years ago who came, and she was very typical of a lot of people that come in that have been in pain a long time, in that you could see how she was just holding, it looked like she was just holding on to herself for dear life. And she had a degenerative problem in the neck, and had been told to hold her head in a neutral position, that if she took her head out of that neutral position, she was, you know, really going to be in danger. And she was scared, you know, and a lot of people that are in pain, there is a fear element along with that. And that does cause a lot of holding. And she, as we went through lessons, and she began to discover that she, for example, could turn her head without turning her whole body, because she used to turn as if she were all one unit. Mm-hmm. Things began to free up for her a lot. But she came for lessons for probably a good year, and we worked religiously every single week. And it was that kind of protective mechanism of hers that she learned to understand when she was doing that, and that she didn't have to be so scared about it, and she was able to free up. You know, everybody's different that's in pain, and some people can, you have to be careful with what they're ready to do and what they're not ready to do. If someone's scared to do a certain movement, we may not go there right away. We may work up to it. But I think the main point about her is that she really illustrated for me what I see in everybody that has a lot of pain, is there's that element of fear. Mm-hmm. And I think fear creates a lot of holding, and holding can just make movement even more difficult. And so as she experienced lessons and saw that, you know, she could move and didn't have to hurt necessarily, then she wasn't as scared.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned that point, that Alexander teachers are not going to, as it were, make you do a movement you're not comfortable doing. And I wonder, in that context, if you could just very briefly describe for our listeners how we as Alexander teachers use our hands, and how that differs from, well, let's say, chiropractors or physical therapists or massage therapists.
Mm-hmm. So the Alexander teacher is trained to use their hands in a very gentle way that will suggest an initiation to movement and guide the student through movement. But the hand is never manipulative or massaging. Some teachers have a very firm touch. Some have a very light touch. But the touch is always giving, we use the word direction to the movement, a suggestion for movement, as opposed to trying to fix something or adjust something, if you will.
Or force anything.
Exactly.
We are not into forcing anything, really.
Right.
Lauren, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to mention before we come to an end here?
I guess there's one thing that I would like to say to anybody who has chronic pain, and that is that from my own experience and from my experience with my students over the years that have chronic pain, I find that it's usually a combination of things that helps people. I call it your recipe. Mm-hmm. And for me, the Alexander technique has helped and continues to help me, because I use it all the time, to deal with my pain issues and living with it. But I also, you know, I have to make sure that I get enough sleep every night, because if I get sleep deprived, I can kind of get into a situation where I have a pain flare up again and it kind of gets worse. So I have to make sure that I move every day. And it doesn't mean that I have to work out vigorously, but I have to go for a walk, I have to swim, or I tap dance. So for me, I have to make sure also that I don't work on things too long. So I used to be the type of person that would stay up till 3 a.m. because I had to finish a project, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have to say no. I can do, you know, a piece of that today and a piece of that tomorrow. And for everybody, it seems like there's a combination of things that might work for them. And unfortunately, you have to kind of figure that out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that combination of things may change over time.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Yeah.
So I'd just like to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we Alexander teachers would not hold ourselves out as being the only thing that can help you by any means. But I do think we have a pretty unique role to play in terms of helping people with pain.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's a piece of the puzzle and can be a very big piece of the puzzle.
Yes, I agree with that. Well, my guest today has been Lauren Hill, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in St. Paul and Park Rapids, Minnesota. And if anything that we've been talking about today intrigues you, and you certainly, if you live in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, give Lauren a call. We'll put a link to her website by the interview. And if you're somewhere else, find a local teacher And if there's no teacher, maybe do some reading on the technique or some internet research. Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert.